Leaders in Washington, D.C. are renewing the push to ratify a 30-year-old treaty known as the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. The treaty's passage could pave the way for expanded drilling in the Arctic Ocean. And as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, there's an odd assortment of groups pushing for it in the nation's capital.
Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman John Kerry says he'll hold hearings on the treaty soon. That comes just as Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Martin Dempsey are urging the Senate for ratification. The Law of the Sea, as it's known, has been signed by more than 160 countries. For all intents and purposes, it's a constitution for the ocean, with jurisdiction over piracy, shipping channels, and yes, deep-sea drilling. And because of its wide scope, it has an unlikely list of supporters, from environmentalists to oil and gas companies.
It is a welcome sight to see us holding hands as we move forward on an issue.
That's Robin Rorick. He's with the American Petroleum Institute, the lobbying association for the oil and gas industry. And he's talking about the environmentalists who see a UN treaty as an opportunity to regulate the potentially dirty offshore drilling industry. Rorick says the law of the sea would allow the United States to move further outward, beyond the current drilling restriction of 200 nautical miles off the coast. That means to the deeper and colder deep sea beds of the outer continental shelf. But without the treaty, oil companies are hesitant to do so.
Companies invest billions of dollars to operate offshore. You do not want to invest in an area where there are no rules or regulations, no certainty of operations. We can operate, sure. But it's almost like building a home somewhere where there are no laws, where there's nothing to govern you.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski has the task of convincing skeptical Republicans to sign on to the treaty. And she's got a pretty straightforward argument. Every day the United States is not in the Arctic, preparing to tap into vast reserves of oil. Other countries are.
We cannot push back on Russia's claim or Canada's claim or anybody else's if we're not at the table.
Not all in her party seemed poised to join her. Conservatives in the Senate are circulating a letter of opposition. So far, it has more than 24 signatures. Treaties only go through the Senate, and they need 67 votes to pass, so that 25-vote block could prove to be a considerable force. The letter of opposition says the U.S. would sacrifice its sovereignty by signing on. That's an argument echoed by Stephen Groves. He's with the Conservative Heritage Foundation. He says the U.S., as a sovereign nation, has an inherent right to exploit the outer continental shelf. And by signing on to a UN treaty, the country could be forced to share some of its oil royalties with other nations.
Currently, the United States is not exposed to baseless international lawsuits, and currently the United States enjoys the right to explore and exploit deep seabed minerals without asking the permission of the International Seabed Authority.
The sovereignty argument is not new. In fact, it's one you often hear when the U.S. considers joining a United Nations effort. For his part, Senator Begich called opposition to the treaty on sovereignty grounds harebrained.
The problem is you have some members of the Senate that just believe in the conspiracy theory that somehow we're giving up our sovereignty, we'll lose our economic opportunity up there, and somehow people with blue hats will be running the Arctic in our territory.
Those blue hats are the trademark of United Nations peacekeepers across the globe. But if Senators Murkowski and Begich think they can get the magic 67 votes needed for ratification, they'll need to do so quickly. And if there's one indicator that has vote counters feeling optimistic the treaty could pass the Senate, it's just who Shell Oil brought on to lobby for it, Trent Lott. Lott, a former Senate majority leader, opposed the treaty when he was in office. Now, just 5 years later, he's pushing his old colleagues to pass it. To some, that may look like a typical Washington move, leaving office, then having a dollar-induced change of heart. But to others, it's a sign long-held opposition may be falling. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.